from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we've got our Dallas Trinity FC scarves on because it is time for a special edition of the C-Block starring Corey Majors, as well as Hannah Davison, Amber Brooks, and Sierra Hinson. Thank you for coming up in studio with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
How did I do on the names? Did we?
You killed it. Okay. Perfect.
Yes. Okay. It's up to you now, Corey.
All right. Well, first off, Amber, you were the first player signed by the team. And are you like the captain? Is that how that works? Like,
yes, I wore the armband this weekend.
This weekend, does that change or is this like?
We haven't had any like formal conversations, so I'm not sure. There is like a leadership group, but we'll see. We're still waiting on our coach to formally enter the country, so I think that's a
okay. All right, so
we don't want to have that conversation before the coach gets here.
Yeah, I think okay. It's like waiting right. for her to come in and you there. Know. See what she sees.
I've been watching a lot of Mad Max movies lately because Furiosa came out and I've been kind of into that. And so it's all like creating, you know, worlds on your own. Whoever's the strongest survives. So basically y'all are creating your own little system right now. And y'all have decided before coach even gets there, right? Like that's kind of what's happening. Everybody understands, hey, that's a strong player right there. That's a good leader right there.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully they think that I'm
she
doing
does
a good
not
job.
Think
yeah.
agree with what
Nobody's
you just
driving
said.
Any cars around and crashing into each other over gasoline or anything so far yet.
Okay, so you know that but the regular world's a lot different than the Mad Max world, right?
Not right now. My brain. I've watched all of them this weekend, and okay. It was kind of a bad decision.
I know how to ask this question like you would like.
Okay.
So, Hannah, when you were flipping over all the cars and then you scored the very first goal for Dallas Trinity FC, I know, maybe disappointment about the draw, but how did you feel with getting the goal?
It was really cool. I think the first goal in the club's history is obviously really special. And as a center back, we don't get to be in front of the goal right. too often. So it was cool to have that moment. And my mom and my grandma were in the stands, which I've been playing abroad. So to be able to do that in front of...
Where were you playing?
I was over in Sweden spent some time as well in the UK. So yeah, I've been gone for 3 years. So to just be back on home soil and get that goal, historic moment for the club, it was really, really cool.
Sierra, as a winger, were you jealous that a center back got the goal, the first goal?
No, honestly, I think it's amazing. I mean, like she said, they don't get a lot of credit sometimes. And so for her to get on the sheet, I think it was amazing.
And what's even more amazing, are you from Garland?
I am.
Garland's the best. That's where I live. Oh, man, she laughed that off a little bit.
Which Garland?
Is Saxe considered Garland?
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It says Garland, but like grew up
you
Rockwell, moved
to
Raleigh, then okay. Saxe. All so,
right.
you know.
I live just right on the other side of the bridge from 30. So I'm with you. So now you're my favorite player. I'm sorry. With all due respect, you represent.
You mentioned that. They could have been disappointed with a draw. So I don't know which one wants to answer this first. When you have a draw in soccer, how many times are you happy with it, disappointed with it, okay with it? Because I'm sure there's different games, matches that you're maybe happy with a draw, slash then there's ones you're really disappointed with it.
Yeah, I think this was when we were probably disappointed with the tie, because I think of the opportunities that we had. We had the better of chances to finish. But at the same time, I think considering all the different variables, like it's our first ever game, like quite literally at the second game, all 11 of us starters had played together. We played in a scrimmage last weekend without having a coach here still, traveling. Tampa's probably, you know, it's been the most established team. They knew they were getting a team for over 2 years and they had a coach in place a year ago. They've been recruiting players a long time. So I think given the variables of it being an away game and just our first game together without a coach and other things, like we will take the 1 point. I think as a team, we came together, like we need to pick up points on the road. So, you know, we did achieve that. But I think in the feelings during the game is that it's a point loss because of the momentum and the opportunities that we had.
You talked about playing overseas. I don't know if y'all have that same experience, but what I'm curious about is if you could tell us more about that overseas experience, but then how cool it is to be able to play back in America and be part of a brand new thing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's an honor, really, especially me being from Dallas, you know, coming here and playing
Garland.
Garland, correction. Just playing for, like, my hometown team and just for the younger generation to be able to look up to us and know that, you know, it doesn't have to stop at college. Like, there's more opportunity here in America. So I think it's a huge deal.
How cool have the last, I don't know, I was going to say 20 years, but it probably just goes back to 99, I'm guessing, at the explosion of opportunities for women's soccer players that you're not like automatically, I have to go overseas.
Yeah, I think the boom from, I mean, how well women's soccer has been doing across the world. And then now with the Olympics just finishing and the U.S. bringing it back home, I think that's going to create another big surge in interest in the game. And like Sierra said, a lot of players after I started in the NWSL my career for 2 years and then decided to go to abroad to get more minutes. So I think there's so much talent here in the States that it's a shame it took this long to get a second league, because it's going to bring great competition to the league that already exists. And there's so much time and energy put into this league and really great players like you saw on opening weekend. So it's amazing to be back home.
We did have Brandi Chastain on our show.
Yeah,
so,
she did.
You're hop on pretty the show good with company, yeah, I yeah. feel like.
What's Sweden like? Like, is it awesome?
I loved it.
Yeah,
I completely fell in love with the country when I got there, and we'll probably spend some time there when I'm settled down and done with my career. Huh. It was way different than the States, much more relaxed lifestyle, which really fits me as a person.
I have to know this because I watched a movie and it really messed with my head. We asked Annika Sorenstam about this. Did you ever go to some sort of Midsommar party, or what can you tell me about that? Because ever since I saw this movie and I realized it's a movie and we've had a lot of movie-based soccer questions, which is probably not great. Did you experience that? What was it like?
I did. I spent 2 Midsummers there and it's not like the movie. It's really joyful.
Good.
Spend with time, like family, friends, good food, just a lot of dancing coming
you
together.
You saw the movie, right?
I did, yeah.
The movie's crazy.
It's crazy.
What happened in this movie?
We're going to need to talk off air about this because it is a really lengthy conversation.
All right, now, Sierra, you and Amber, y'all, you are from here. You played in Houston. Mm-hmm. Our apologies. Yeah. You're welcome to Dallas here.
Thank you.
The Heat. Is that a problem for y'all, or is this something you're like, I got this, I'm just taking care of?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's an issue. I think there's nowhere hotter than here, honestly. like that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think after 4 years in Houston, there's not nearly as much humidity here, and there usually is like a slight breeze, which makes a huge difference. And I also played 2 off-seasons in Australia in their summer. And it'd get up to like 120 degrees. So
that's where all the Mad Max movies were recorded. Oh, okay. So there's like, yeah, there's. I'm sorry, I keep bringing this to the table here. It's stuck in my brain, man. But being in Houston, what's the smelliest part of Houston? What are your thoughts there? It's okay. You don't have to answer that one. It's all right.
I mean, I will say, I do think the food is very good in Houston. Like, they have a good food culture. But yeah, it's just so hot that, like, even like as a player, obviously it wasn't enjoyable playing in those conditions. And then it's just like, you wonder why there's not tons of fans out. Like, I, as a soccer enthusiast, if I was a younger girl, probably not be asking my parents to drag me to a game in those elements. So, like, I think it's just a very hard market for outdoor sports.
And I saw that you said that there were, you know, 8,000-9,000 showing up, and then you have a short notice game up in Dallas, and there's like 12,000-13,000 showing
up. Yeah,
that
was around Hurricane Harvey. So, I actually, as soon as they canceled our game, like the day before it hit, I came up here. I had a friend on the team whose family lived in McKinney, and I was like, I'm hanging out with you guys because we know this isn't going to go well. So, eventually, the girls and the staff that stayed back in Houston, after about 5-6 days, were able to make it up to Dallas. We trained at FC Dallas's facilities, and they were able to host our game against the Seattle Reign in FC Dallas's stadium. And yeah, like probably on, you know, 2 days notice, there was 12,000 to 15,000 fans.
Wow.
And yeah, and obviously growing up, I played a lot of tournaments in Dallas, had a lot of teammates on college and national teams with me that were from Dallas. I remember just being like, I don't really get it. Like, why do they not have a team? Like, look at the audience they get for one game. And look at the fans that Houston historically has not been able to put in the stands. So, yeah, when I heard Dallas was getting a team in this league, I was like, sweet. Like, finally, like, this should go well.
Okay, so I was watching the show Sprint on YouTube, getting ready for the Olympics, and I was surprised that these Olympians that are going to run the 100 and the 200, and you obviously have to be in great shape to play soccer. They were eating French fries and pasta, and they were like, I mean, carb loading. And you would, I guess you just wouldn't think, looking at these sprinters, they would be eating that before maybe in the afternoon a big race. What is kind of a pregame meal before you girls have to go out and play a game to make sure that you are at peak performance? Because I was surprised at what they were eating.
Yeah, I mean, they just said that they're pretty used to the heat. I feel like even though Chicago can get hot, I still find this as quite a big of a struggle.
Yes.
And so I have actually found it kind of hard to eat the same type of meals I was in other conditions, just because when you're hot and sweaty, the last thing that sounds good is like
carbs.
Yeah,
or
carbs,
yeah,
or just something hot heavy food. Yeah. Exactly. So now to me, it's still getting in protein, some pasta, but maybe just like a lighter sauce, and like smoothies. As many like carbs I can get through drinking now too, to supplement. Yeah, just not having the same type of appetite in this heat is big for me now, that I've learned pretty quickly.
It's a cool opportunity, I'm guessing, but is it overwhelming at all to also be having your home matches in the Cotton Bowl, which is clearly a gigantic stadium?
I mean, I think it's great. My fiance played football for Auburn, so when,
oh, so he's,
when I told yeah. him, like, hey, we're playing the Cotton Bowl, he's like, what? Like, you get to play there? Like, so I think, you know, the club's mentality about it was providing the best playing surface that they could get, and that it's actually in the city and not in the suburbs. And so it obviously meets those two conditions. And we had a scrimmage on it a couple weeks ago, and the grass was really nice, which as a player, that's what you care about. Like this past weekend, we had to deal with a turf field with wood chips, and we've all got, you know, splinters in our palms,
oh, no.
and all yeah. over our legs.
Okay.
And so,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. No complaints. Obviously, yeah, it's a large environment to try and, you know, get as many people as you can in the seats. But I think it's there, you know, it's for me as a player, the playing surface is what's most important. And I think if we can provide an experience for them and entertainment, then more and more will continue to come out as the season goes along.
I was kind of hoping to kick it over to Hannah and Sierra as well to talk more about the playing surface. I'm really glad that you talked about that, because with World Cup is have a heavy presence at AT&T, a lot of the discussion leading into it was what kind of surface would they have? Would it be synthetic? Can you walk us through like the differences while you're playing outside of all the marks that we just saw, unfortunately?
Yeah, I mean, I think turf is just much harder on your body, and the way the ball bounces or moves on it, it just makes it a little bit more difficult, I feel like. And so if you can have the best surface, which I feel like is grass, then I say why not? And I think it's really cool that our ownership really put the time and energy and resources into that to make sure that we had the best.
Now, somebody just asked, sorry to jump in there, somebody just asked in our fan text, do y'all make appearances or talk to perhaps younger kids or younger girls who are playing soccer? Because one of our afternoon hosts, he coaches his daughter's soccer team. So I was kind of curious, like, how do you, can you get out and about in the community in the midst of the season as well?
I think that's definitely a role you take on when you become a professional athlete, is whether you like it or not, there's a lot of people looking up to us now. So you have to take on that responsibility of being a role model. And I think a big thing that this club stands for is being really in touch with our community. So whether it's coaching or doing one-on-one lessons, going and seeing kids who are in the hospital that maybe want to talk to someone who can't make it to a game, and just any way that we can give back, because we're nothing without our fans and the support that they give us. So I think that's a really big piece. And a lot of the team is very involved in different charity organizations and just always looking for ways to give back. So definitely a priority for us.
Now, Kevin and I covered high school soccer. We covered all the high school sports for our local newspaper. Yeah. And it looked like every time we'd go out to the national tournaments.
Yes.
It looked like Frisco was like the hub, and DFW is like a little mecca of soccer around. Is that the way it's looked at nationally, that this is an area where a lot of good players can come from and come to?
Yeah, I think so. I think Dallas has had that kind of narrative for a while. I mean, there's so much talent that comes out of here. Like Amber said, you know, she grew up playing with people on the national team from Dallas, you know, grew up playing with them. I think we just have a lot of talent here, and I'm just so glad that we have a team finally, you know, that they can look to and say, like, I can come here and play. So I think it's cool.
Yeah, like every Saturday, I mean, you drive by, you're going to see, you know, all sorts of, especially living in Plano. I live in Plano, and it's just like everything's built for soccer out there. The whole area is just kind of spread out. There's fields everywhere. And there's, you know, anywhere from my kids, the younger one than that, and then all the way up to the high school, and they're getting ready to go off, like our Corbin Bone, who went off to Wake Forest and won a national championship.
Now, y'all's next match is a friendly against FC Barcelona. It's going to be on Peacock a week from Friday at 7:30 p.m. But surely we want to encourage people to go see the game in person. DallasTrinityFC.com.
Peacock?
Yes.
That's awesome to
but
have.
I just said we want to encourage them.
No, but that's really cool to have a deal like that.
That,
like,
is
in
true.
Place. Like, to be able to be on Peacock and, you know, something that's pretty unique,
you
right?
You can take advantage of that on the road matches.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
For this one, DallasTrinityFC.com/FCB. This question is for all of y'all. For people who maybe have not experienced this before, why would you encourage them to go out, whether it's next Friday or a future home match, and go check out the team?
Well, specifically next Friday, FC Barcelona is the best women's and arguably men's football club in the world. It's historic. My 21st birthday trip was to go watch a Barcelona game in Camp Nou. So, it's been the team that you aspire and look at to play in terms of the highest level. And so, you know, obviously we want people to come to our games for ourselves. But, you know, in terms of next week, if you're on the fence, like, please come, if only because we're playing Barcelona. And then let us show you that we're also a good team, and come back the following weekend. So, yeah, it's really a once in a lifetime thing for fans. But for us, too, I think as players, like, we're all pumped, trying to exchange our jerseys and, you know, not fangirl too much because we're obviously having to play against them. But yeah, I just don't think people, it's going to be one of those moments that if you bring, you know, your kid or even yourself, like, in a few years, you'll realize like how like actual special that was, and how, you know, that's truly a once in a lifetime opportunity to see this play. It will not happen again here. So
DallasTrinityFC.com is the website. If you're looking specifically for tickets for that match a week from Friday at the Cotton Bowl, DallasTrinityFC.com/FCB. Man, Amber, Hannah, Sierra, thank y'all so much for coming in. We really appreciate the time and the scarves.
Kevin, do you want to say your tagline? Go get Dallas Trinity FC?
I don't. Okay. Sometimes when you do this a lot, you say things that you're like, that's not how I meant to say that.
Well, next time. We'll grow a good slogan for you, man.
Coming up next, it's time for the Tuesday tailgate. Are you excited about the 12-team college football playoff? Plus, the Texas Tech Taylor Swift connection grows stronger. Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ewers has it. Off play action. Quinn the throw. Wide open. Whittington caught. Touchdown, Texas. Jay Witt right down the middle on third down and a foot.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. If you missed it, we were just talking with the folks from Trinity FC Dallas. And once we got off the air, Sierra looked at her phone and said, "My mom said to tell you guys that she's a Tolo."
Nice.
And so
that's awesome.
That was freaking
awesome.
We got
Tolos everywhere, man. I was driving back from the in-laws a while back.
Yep.
And I was driving on the highway and I'm rolling through Mansfield and I see a black Charger and it's got windows tinted and everything. On the back, it had a Tolo sticker.
Cool.
And I was trying to honk at them and everything on the highway and get their attention, but I was like, I don't just know how to like stop and talk. But I just wanted them. If you're out there listening right now and you saw some crazy guy in a white vehicle honking at you, it was me trying to tell you, yeah, I love the Tolos.
You hope, or something is about to go drastically different. Don't pull over and be like, it's probably just Corey.
It might be just Corey.
Might not be. Now we move into our new segment, Carter. We need to see if you approve of the name. We are going to go with the Tuesday Tailgate going forward. Do you support this as a college football name?
I like it better than College Football on a Tuesday.
Okay.
Which is what we ran with last year, and I was like, this is one of the names of the segments that the show has ever had.
That was a very inside joke between me and Kevin about some other stuff. So one day we could explain it, but yeah, that's it.
Now, I know that Corey likes Taylor Swift, and I know Carter knows pretty much everything in college football. So these things come together for me to tell you that you might have been familiar that Joey McGuire, the coach at Texas Tech, obviously we're familiar with him from the high school scene as well. His daughter, Reagan, has a claim to fame. She got a bachelor's degree in apparel design and manufacturing at Texas Tech. She also
breakdancer for Australia.
I think that is Ray Gunn.
A lot of controversy there.
Not Reagan. She designed the yellow dress that Taylor Swift has been showcasing throughout the Eras Tour.
Oh, like the big one or the little one with like the stuff on it?
That is all the information I have. The yellow dress.
I did not realize
there were multiple yellow dresses. My apologies. But do you like those dresses, and does it make you want to root for Texas Tech more?
It's a gorgeous dress.
Okay, good.
If it's the right one.
Oh, no.
She does wear a lot of costumes during those shows.
Oh, yeah,
so
I think it's this one. I think it's that one right there. It's nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Great dress.
All right. Beautiful. We talked about this player off air yet last week. Malachi Nelson, the former number one overall player in the class of 2023, transfer from USC, now to Boise State. What will happen now that he has not won the Boise State job either?
I hope this is an opportunity for him to just sit and learn yet again, because he, a school like Boise State, I think he'll have more of a chance to maybe hop into a game than he would at, say, USC, right, where they have a Caleb Williams in front of him. But yeah, this is a precipitous fall from grace from a kid who is supposed to be the heir apparent at a notoriously good school for quarterbacks, and now he can't even win the job at, you know, a school in Boise State whose football program, they should contend for the 12-team sure playoff this year, but like, you would think with his supposed level of talent, like, that should be a cakewalk for him. Now, the dude who won it, Maddox Madsen, I believe is his name.
That is correct.
He took over for Boise State last year and put up really, really good numbers before he got hurt. So he's already been at Boise State. He's played under that offense, so it's probably just easier for him to, you know, slide into the starting role once again.
Kevin, go ahead. No. I was curious on how you feel about your Dukies taking on a Texas transfer, Malik Murphy, and him getting a starting job there.
I mean, look.
He's probably the most talented quarterback Duke has ever had. Sorry, Daniel Jones.
Oh, your man. Face, Daniel Jones. Wow. Do you think this is fair from Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy, who will probably, to some extent, always be known as, I'm a man, I'm 40. He told his players to stop asking for more NIL money. He goes, the negotiations are done. Now we're playing football. The portal's over. Stop asking for more money.
Yeah, he said that, as that's what he does and other coaches do during the season to make sure they don't leave. And then did you also see today Oklahoma State will be wearing QR codes on the back of their helmets that will link directly to a page to donate to their NIL funds?
So it feels a little disingenuous, is what you're saying, for the players not to ask for more money when they're using literally the back of the heads of the players to get more money.
Just a little bit. And this is probably only the second most controversial thing Gundy said this offseason, so...
Yes, yeah. I was familiar with that other one. But the player that got the DUI, and he's like, hey, look, I've probably done that like 500 times.
And his punishment is Ollie Gordon's going to play, and he's going to run him like 500 times instead of sit him out a couple games.
There you go.
No.
I think the Vegas Heat just got to him.
Don't drink and drive.
Yes, agreed. We're going to put Carter to the test here. Corey, I'm sure you will get the answer correctly.
Bama.
That would be something. There are 134 teams in the FBS college football ranking.
Bama is one of them.
They are.
Who is...
Can you name the other 133?
Okay, no. I bet you could, though.
I think I'd be able to.
Who do you think would be ranked dead last?
Well, it's either going to be the newest school in the FBS level, which is Kennesaw State, or it's going to be Louisiana Monroe, who is just in the most dire of straits right now.
All right, so pick one.
Yeah.
Kennesaw State. Did I get it right?
Number 134, a.k.a. dead last, is in fact Kennesaw State.
Nice.
Just to show how close
you
were on the other
Thank
one.
Thank you.
Louisiana Monroe is number 131, so fourth from the worst.
Oh, my gosh. Who's 32 and 33? I'll come back at the end of the segment.
Okay. You let me know what you figure out with that. Now that we're here to the start of the season, which, by the way, this weekend, the season gets going. I know the marquee game.
4 days away. We are 4 days away from having college football on our TVs yet again.
And the marquee game, I will just assume, is Florida State against Georgia Tech.
You don't think Delaware State at Hawaii that kicks off at 11 p.m. Central is the marquee game?
Okay, I do think that's kind of neat because of the time difference, but no.
Did you see as well today, Delaware State, they have a 10.5-hour flight from Delaware to Honolulu. They did not make their flight because they had a bus error. So they did not make it to the airport on time to fly out today to get to Honolulu to prep, you know, time-wise for that game. So Delaware State's kind of going through a little bit right now. So college football is just, you know, back in full force with stuff like that happening.
Fascinating. But now that we're here, college football starting, Are you guys more excited about the prospects of the 12-team playoff? Like, obviously, with the rankings coming out, some people have, you know, just plug and play. Like, let's take a look if it's these 12 teams and these four teams got a bye. Are you excited now that it's here? Because as a fan of an also-ran college football team in Texas A&M, I am excited that it feels like there's something more to play for. Maybe not this season, but just in general.
I am, and I don't feel like it takes away anything from the excitement of the regular season of college football for me either. Like, I still feel like...
Is that because of the byes?
Just because the nature of college football, okay. I think, really is the thing that I get excited about anyway. Like, every Saturday, it's the, hey, man, these kids are going out to party and also getting the big game going on. I think that excitement is still going to exist. Now, professionally, might be a little bit different, but just the way that college football is, I think that excitement's going to be there for both of them. You just know the level changes once you get to the playoff.
Yeah, and I think people are saying, oh, this devalues the regular season more. You know, there's more teams that can make it, so these regular season games don't matter. I disagree with that because I would say a late season Missouri versus Ole Miss game, you might not have cared about before. That's just some also because, you know, it's going to be Georgia and Alabama or Georgia and Texas, whatever, right? Well, those teams are fighting for the playoff too. Like, there's going to be more eliminator games for a lot of these teams. You're going to see, you're going to see 9-3 teams scoot into the maybe the 10 or 11 seed in this playoff, but they're going to be playing games against other teams that at that point in the season, they're like 7-2 or they're 8-2. So, like, you're going to see more of these eliminator games and more of these other games that you might not have cared about before are going to matter towards the end product.
That. I really could. Now, from the 214, they asked about this last week, and I get an opportunity to bring it up. What do you know about Caden Salters from Cedar Hill, the quarterback at Liberty?
He was the Conference USA Offensive Player of the Year last year, I believe. I mean, Liberty was undefeated in the regular season. It was their first season in a conference. They'd been independent before that. He had an incredible season. He probably could have, you know, moved up to the power level if he wanted to, but he's back at Liberty. Jamie Chadwell is the head coach there. He was formerly at Coastal Carolina, who had some hot, hot, hot offenses in the early part of this decade. So they're one of the many, or I shouldn't even say many, they're one of the few like top contenders for that Group of Five playoff spot. Because, I mean, they haven't lost a game since they moved into a conference. And Conference USA is not the strongest, so they have a good chance to sweep through it yet again.
This might be a question for another day. Which not rival do you love to hate? So, for example,
Clemson.
There's four Ohio State players that are on the AP preseason All-America first team. I think that might be mine just because going back to Urban Meyer, but they're not actually a rival or anything like that for Texas A&M. So you said Clemson. Why Clemson? And then Corey, let us know yours as well.
I'm tired of the way Dabo does things, like especially in this new era of college football. He's not willing to adapt. And that's to my benefit because they're not nationally relevant as much as they had been at the, you know, later part of last decade. But just the way he goes about his business, I'm not a fan of his.
Corey, is there a not direct rival team in college football that you love to hate on?
Yeah, UTSA.
The Roadrunners?
Yeah, because that's UNT's big rival.
But I just said it's not a rival.
Well, it's not a rival to OU.
So okay, I'll so you can pivot. You.
Yeah. Just changing.
Yeah. Well, actually, Kevin, my bad. I went to go look up the 132nd and 133rd teams.
Yes.
New Mexico, one of them?
No, it's UMass at 132 and Kent UMass. State at 133. And then I saw UNT, baby, Go Mean Green, 107. So we still got a chance.
Almost in the top 100.
New Mexico was only 122. So.
Okay, they play South Dakota State this weekend, who is an FCS program, who is the reigning national champion. No, I'm sorry. They play Montana State, who was a semifinal. No, they were the runner-up at the FCS level.
Are you in preseason form, yes, too, or what's going
season
on?
Season hasn't started yet. The New Mexico plays Montana State.
You're
FCS
glitching.
Team. They are the FCS team. So a lower level, less scholarships, is an 11-point favorite over the team that's at the FBS, the highest level.
That is pretty wild.
That's why I thought Montana or New Mexico would be down there. I'm just going to stop talking. I'm glitching too much.
I think, Kevin, the non-rival teams, though, for me, like in the higher up rankings and everything, one of them is definitely Iowa because they play boring football and they very, very scarcely score points.
In your face, kids, at the end of the third quarter.
And they still win 10 games every year.
It's something because defense wins games. And then A&M.
Oh, yeah.
Because just
You know how y'all are.
We do weird things.
You know how y'all are.
I get it.
Y'all's thing. It's the things y'all do.
For the KNC Masterpiece. That's a little hurtful, but I get your point. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
We're solid. We are. We're better than Mike, I suppose, in that regard.
So it's just you here, then brought us down the line in Oxnard. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's that's the me. Cowboys post
here we
game
are.
Show.
Yeah.
All right.
About that.
So I want to know yesterday when you're interviewing Chris Young. Great questions as usual. And Chris Young says, this is not what we expected, and I expect our players to be as equally embarrassed as I am about how we played. Were you surprised?
It got me fired up, to be honest. I mean, I was thinking, like, this is why I love Chris Young. Chris
sure.
Young cares. Chris Young is a man on a mission. He feels it. I mean, you can tell this is a dude that grew up in the Metroplex, and as much as he wants to do a great job as a general manager, he's also a fan deep down. And he feels the frustration. He knows this team is underperformed. He knows a lot of players that he put faith in have underperformed. And, he's reflecting basically to me when he said that exactly how Ranger fans are feeling based on what they text into us and when we see them around town and what they're asking us and telling us about.
Yeah, he's a general manager of a championship baseball team. And he's been to the top of the mountain. And now he's seeing how it feels to kind of tumble down that mountain a little bit. And I think that's the part of it that he felt like that he had built a baseball team that could defend. And clearly it hasn't defended. There's a lot of things that have gone into the season and the struggles they've had. And that's why I asked him the question about maybe making changes. And, you know, the difficult thing is you go from a championship winning team to a lot of the same staff, a lot of the same personnel. But you have to identify as a general manager some of the areas you were not you were deficient in. And I think that, you know, Chris is a smart enough guy that he knows that. And he's going to have to make some hard decisions about some staff. But, you know, it's, to us, he said, hey, I'm happy with the direction of that and the way things are going. But maybe when we get to the end of the year, his mind might change a little bit about, I'd like to tweak this, tweak that, because he surely doesn't want to go through this again.
Does he have to make those hard decisions about the staff? Because I know he said the right thing, but he also still doesn't have a contract, which feels wild to me.
Yeah, it is. we've talked about some of the various general managers, you know, around our sports teams and the Jim Neals and getting a contract extension with the way, you know, the Stars have performed, and, you know, the Nico getting a contract extension as well. It just seems like that you would want to keep the guy in place that helped you build a World Series winning team. It seems unless there's something there that we don't know about, if, you know, maybe that management is, looking at him in a different light that, you know, and he was a first time general manager. And I'm sure that, you know, the first-time general manager, you know, you appreciate the opportunity, and maybe you go for a certain price to get that opportunity. But then you win a World Series, you're kind of like, well, wait a minute. I'm not a million-dollar general manager. I'm a $4 million general manager now. And so, you know, those are the kinds of things that we don't know about there, but it does seem very unusual.
The other part, too, like you said, the like you're trying to figure out what is bad and what you can, like, get rid of. You also got to figure out, did you misidentify what was good? Was it just luck? It wasn't just luck that made that happen. Something was right. Something yeah. was good there. Mm-hmm. How do you recapture that or rebuild that?
Yeah, when you look at the regression, and Mike, you get these numbers when you're doing the games, but I mean, Jonah Heim, Ezekiel Duran, Leody Taveras. Like, Leody Taveras is a big conversation they're going to have. Like, you've given him time. I understand he was your center fielder when you won a World Series, but I don't think we've seen the progression from Leody Taveras that we need to see. I think he regressed this year as a defensive player, and you know he is very inconsistent with his bat. I think that's a move where it's like, hey, Leody, we've given you time. We no longer can give you the benefit of the doubt. Like, yeah, you're a World Series champion. We got to make that tough decision. We need to get better. Now, the Evan Carter back situation, that's a scary one because that was your easy move. Evan Carter's our starting center fielder. Now, maybe that's a question mark. So there are some tough soul-searching, look-in-the-mirror things when it comes to players. Hey, was that a flash in the pan a year ago, and did they regress down to the means of who they really are this year?
I think you're asking great questions. I will answer them with just my opinion. I don't know what's going to happen. I do think they want to move Jonah Heim back to more of a 50-50 catcher. I know Carson Kelly is a free agent, but I think that they've seen enough already, and they get to see six more weeks, that they probably want to bring Carson Kelly back and it be a 50-50 share of catching the game. So each of you have approximately 80 games of catching together, and you'll DH some when you're hot with the bat. And then I do think Evan Carter will be the starting center fielder on opening day next year. I think that's a move they're going to make. And then you hear a lot about first base. But the thing is, to me, I think Corey Seager's headed towards that position. So then it becomes, as a general manager, how much do you want to fill that position for years if you feel like your shortstop, eventually 6'4", 230 pounds, is going to need to make a possible move to that position?
Yeah, I mean, that's a phenomenal question. I guess, like, when you look at the minors, Sebastian Walcott, very young, but is that the guy that you're envisioning takes over at shortstop when that
time comes?
Everybody
said he's not a shortstop, which then my question is why are you playing him at shortstop? If, you know, Broadus can maybe answer this through a football perspective. Or, like, if you don't think he's a future player at this position, why are we playing him at that position in the minor leagues?
Yeah, that's that is kind of unusual. Mike, can I circle back about the thing with Corey Seager? If you feel like that the place he's going to end up is at first base, why wouldn't you go ahead and make that move then now? Why wouldn't you go ahead if you have a problem at first base, or you think you have a problem at first base, why wouldn't you go ahead and make that move now? Is it because you don't have a shortstop?
Well, Josh Smith could be your starting shortstop.
He could be. I would say right now you have Nate Lowe on the team. So your best team is Nate Lowe at first base and Corey Seager at shortstop. But from what I hear, I don't know, but Nate Lowe's arbitration eligible last year, and he's going to get around $10 million as an arbitration number. And I don't know if the Rangers are willing to pay that number for the production he provides. And so I think next in the offseason, if you're looking for a first baseman, I guess I'm just repeating myself here, Brian. You asked a good question, but I think that I do think you have to have a serious conversation on, is it time to have a discussion with Corey Seager when the season ends to say, this is what we're doing at first base, and this is our belief at shortstop. Now, they had to do this with Michael Young.
Yeah.
And they said, Michael, we traded for a premium shortstop who's ready to play in the major leagues now. His name's Elvis Andrusen. He's playing shortstop on opening day in 2009. We have to move you, and we believe moving you to third base is the best thing for you long term. And then Adrian Beltre became available the next offseason, then they moved him to first base. But I know they had to have not these people. None of these people were in place, but the people in 2009 had to have a discussion with Michael Young, the franchise player, and say, you're not a shortstop anymore. And I don't know if they're ready or willing or whatever to have that conversation with Corey Seager in the offseason, because there's a first base spot that possibly is open, and then it does open up shortstop. And maybe it'd be easier if Walcott was 20 years old and ready to play shortstop. You say, we have this stud guy, and he's going to really help our team. I don't know, Brian. You've had to be in front offices. These might not be the most fun conversations to have with superstar, potential future Hall of Fame players.
No, as a former player, if they came up to you and said the same thing to you, Mike, how do you take that?
Punch them in the face.
It would be very tough, because Corey Seager sees himself as an all-star premium shortstop who finished second in MVP a year before, who's this year going to hit 30-plus home runs. He's your best player on your team by far. Defensively, he's not the best. He's never won a gold glove at shortstop, but it's just tough to go to him and say, because then you take it as a shot. It's not, but you're like, wait, I'm not the problem. Yeah. Like, you know, you look at it like, I'm not the reason we didn't finish above 500. And then you kind of feel like, are you putting this on me? That, you know, so I think that it becomes very tough and a very nuanced conversation if that conversation happens.
What do y'all got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold as always, Aggie. Thank you so much for asking. 3:20, we'll have our Rangers players show. 4 o'clock, John Machota going to join us from The Athletic, give us a practice report as he's going to join Brian in the tent there in Oxnard.
Very nice. Looking forward to that. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Catch up with us tomorrow or come see us live at Globe Life Field from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say Chan Ho parking it.
What the hell does that mean?
Here
oh,
the,
Barry, please, Barry, listen, Barry. Barry, we need you, Barry.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.